This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
In this week's The Boardroom segment, we've had to do a special pre-record because a person that we're speaking to is a lady who really needs no introduction in the wider Geelong community. And she's unavailable on a Tuesday night. She's got her finger in so many pies, it's just incredible. She's a politician, a community activist. She works at one of the city's biggest government departments that has supported football in a massive way. And she's also a club secretary and, most importantly, a proud soccer mum. With great pleasure, we welcome Lari United FC secretary and City of Greater Geelong councillor Kylie Grisbeck to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Kylie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Kylie, I'd like to start, first of all, with your role on council. So you're elected to Geelong Council as a representative of the Windermere Ward, and it encompasses a large part of the northern parts of Geelong, real hotbed of the local football community. Now, it must be a really big responsibility, especially taking into account it encompasses some of the most, what we call disadvantaged parts of the city.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Look, it is a really big responsibility, and the Windermere Award does go from Ballyang and Anarchy to Finesford, down to North Geelong and all the way down to Avalon. It is a hotbed of football and many other things as well. I don't like the words disadvantage. I say we've got many different challenges in our space. And what I like best is that we've got so many cultures, so many beliefs, so many different things going on. We're a real multicultural mix, and that's probably the best thing that makes up our community, and I suppose I'm a little biased.
Mm. Our sport, football or soccer or whatever you want to call it, is really thriving up in the north. Seems to be one of the sports, especially as far as the juniors is concerned, that's bucking the trend and providing many of the city's youth in the northern suburbs a chance to get off the streets. So when I say bucking the trends, a lot of the other clubs struggle for numbers, but we struggle to cope with the numbers. What are some of the good things going on in the north as far as council is concerned, just in general?
Yeah, look, I agree with you. The growth of football, yes, the round ball football, which is the one I refer to as football, in the northern parts is extreme. You know, I hear from clubs that are struggling with the growth almost every week. I think Victoria as a whole is experiencing the enormous growth, and Geelong's no different. Some of the things that council is trying to do is keep up with the infrastructure. Some of the things I'm most proud of, though, is Leisure Time, the Leisure Time Centre, the synthetic pitch there was a $2 million investment, and it's booked out, and it's really good to the people in the north are using that.
I don't like it. That's where I got an ankle injury and I was out for 12 weeks.
Besides that, look, I think that a couple of the other things that we're really proud of, you know, in Geelong we've got two hubs of mini roos soccer, north and south. That shows the strength of that. And look, one of my sons is coaching an under sevens girls team this year, co-hosting it with a friend of his, and the amount of kids in mini roos is absolutely exciting across the board. So we're really excited about that in the north.
Now, just recently, it was announced that the areas of the north and the west of Geelong, they're set to become massive population growth areas. What's the potential of these new suburbs to be in terms of our sport?
Look, they're northern and western growth areas. It's in the, for those that don't know, it's in the Batesford and sort of the Lovely Banks area. We're set to add about the size of Ballarat to Geelong. That's about 110,000 people in Geelong over the next 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and the growth is huge. But with that comes enormous opportunities for regional facilities and local sporting infrastructure. So, look, Eddie Contell, a fellow councillor who's soccer mad, and I, we're having discussions now with the city about what do those regional facilities look like. I'm advocating, as I've put it on the record, for a regional soccer facility, a dream look of a possible 5,000-seat stadium with a couple of square pitches around it would be fantastic, and something that, you know, I think is much needed. We could even host A-League games, some of the NPL derbies. I went to the NPL derby recently held at North Geelong, and what an amazing game that would be to be able to be hosted at a facility.
Absolutely.
Like that. I think, but it also would be great to hold mini roos. It's got no boundaries. So, look, I'm meeting with Football Victoria over the next few weeks to talk about and ask for their help in advocating for such a facility.
Fantastic. Well, Howard Glover Reserve, I guess, is the closest thing we have to what one could call a regional centre.
Closest thing we have to Antarctica on Sunday afternoon, too.
And I say closest because, let's face it, Andrew, you're right. At the moment, it is nothing more than a derelict, underutilised and poorly flood-leaked ground. However, we do believe there are master plans afoot to complete something of a, or major plans to complete a master plan, which would see the East Geelong ground upgraded. Kylie, can you give us any information with regards to that?
Yeah, sure. At this point, the city is in partnership with Football Victoria. We're doing a co-funded facility plan for Howard Glover. We recognise that it is the base of football in Geelong at the moment. The objective is to identify upgrades to allow for greater programming and participation at the reserve. Look, we're currently working on a plan that should be completed by the end of June, so it's not that long away. And then that'll help us talk to funding bodies, governments, etc., to get those master plan off the cards.
Mm-hmm. Now, in all honesty, though, we've seen about 7 or 8 or so pitches come online in the last year, and we had a similar amount in 2017 as well. But just in the local region, so, you know, things are really happening here at the moment. It must be hard for a council to keep up with the growth, also for council to be able to accommodate all the needs and requests of the other sporting groups as well. What can soccer do better, or what can it come up with that puts it in a better spot for council to be able to do things for us?
Yeah, good question. Look, from a council perspective, I think having Football Victoria's facilities plan is it is helpful, but that's at a very high level. So it says, you know, we need 27 odd pitches across Geelong. What look, from the AFL model, I've seen some really good things around the ground by ground audit. So I'd really love to see the ground by ground audit, so council can then look at that and make the decisions based on what we actually need. One of the things that I'm getting lobbied for, and rightly so, I'm a politician, is that from all clubs are saying they don't have the room to grow at this point. They don't have the facilities they need. Lighting is one of the most important topics in all of Geelong at the moment. And being a winter sport, that's something that we have to, that is a big barrier to winter sport. So, one of the things that we're saying in the proposed budget is we've got an increase in the community infrastructure grants to $3 million. That's up from $1 million last year. So we're investing in infrastructure. What we're saying also is we've changed the policy so private clubs can now apply. So we see the benefits of those clubs like a Bell Park, like a North Geelong. They're on private land, but they offer the community the same service as any other club around the region. Mm-hmm. And we're really proud.
Or Breakwater Eagles, and they were in the news recently where the Polish club was trying to get pokies or something like that. That was denied, and that's another club that could really do well with funding upgrades.
Yes, agreed. And they're on private land, so they can apply just the same as any other club or entity across the region for infrastructure. So we've increased it by $2 million and we've allowed those clubs to now apply for full funding the way that any other club would. So we're really proud of that.
Interesting conversation here we're having. We are going to take a little break now, but when we return, we will continue our rather interesting chat with our special guest, Kylie Grisbeck, and discuss her role as Secretary of Lara United FC, as well as being a proud soccer mum. Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. We're talking with Councillor Kylie Grisbeck from the Geelong City Council, but now she's going to change her superhero costume, and she is now Kylie Grisbeck, Secretary of Lara United FC and soccer mum. Kylie, we spoke about the great growth in the first part of this interview, in general, but particularly up in the northern suburbs. And speaking of clubs in the northern suburbs, Lara United is one of those clubs that has experienced an exponential growth, particularly over the last couple of years. Tell us, how is the club coping with it all?
Look, let me just say, first of all, as the Secretary of Lara United, I'm a big fan of the game itself. I advocate for soccer across the region with both my hats on. Look, back to Lara. We've experienced massive growth, but what I say, it's opportunity. It's opportunity to get more people involved in this sport, and that's what we're really passionate about. We've got a great committee and an even better supporter base. They're demanding but understanding, and we want to create the best atmosphere that we have for our our club to grow. And as our president, Aaron Pettman, says, we're trying to achieve greatness. That's what we're doing out at LARA at the moment.
Absolutely.
First of all, Kylie, you look fantastic now in your beanie and your big LARA parka. Very nice. Now, what does a club like LARA United, that is growing so much and so quickly, most need to do right now? It's got more volunteers, more sponsors, more development of the football operation side of things. You just mentioned about the club vision. Or better said, what is the club's short or medium-term goals?
Yeah, look, I think as a club, one of the things we most need is lights. We don't have any lights at all. Look, but we do have amazing supporters. So Bisnella Developments is our major sponsor. We're the recipient of the female-friendly change rooms by the grant by the state, Hi John Erin, and the council, which the application was made before I became a councillor, but it's very exciting that I'm being able to deliver that as part of being a councillor. And look, by the way, congrats to our amazing football female administrator of the year, Beck Horrocks. We're really proud of her at LARA United.
We had her on last week's show and she was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. And we're really proud of her. And look, we have a vision at the club about, you know, our vision is United We Stand. But we want to provide a family-friendly environment that allows the players to get the best out of themselves, both on and off the pitch. Short-term goals is about having a place where everybody can come. We're really proud to say we've got an all-abilities team last year and this year as well. And, look, we realise that we're a grassroots club and sometimes we can't supply the teams for our players when they want to take their football to a better direction, a higher direction. That's why we need to partner with clubs like Geelong and North Geelong and give our players a pathway into NPL. And that's why we shouldn't be scared of these clubs. We should actually embrace it and be part of them. So that's something as Lara's taking that direction.
On that note, Lachie McGrath's an ex-Lara United junior. And I saw him last year covering some of Corio's games and then this year at North Geelong in the NPL. He's brilliant. The kid's brilliant, and it's great to see that he started off at a club like LARA United.
Yeah. I mean, the whole McGrath family we're very supportive of them from LARA United's perspective. We've got some of the brothers doing this State League 5 administration at the moment. What we're really proud of is that we've got some junior players playing at North and playing at Geelong in NPL. That we will support. We will support them still as LARA United players playing up, and that's where we keep an eye on them. And hopefully when they've finished their NPL career, they'll come back to LARA and play.
Absolutely.
There are, from a point of view too, that clubs need to see not so much that they're losing players to the NPL side, but they're developing players for those NPL
sides.
Right.
We're
a little bit the same down at Drysdale.
Definitely. There are indeed some exciting things happening down at LARA Recreation Reserve, especially with the fantastic new club rooms that were supposed to be open last weekend but have been put back a little. Tell us more about what the supporters, players and indeed visitors to LARA United will be able to enjoy once everything is complete.
One of the things that we obviously with the female-friendly change room, so the ability to have two lots of change rooms going at once is really important. One of the things that I love is that we're going to have a section of our space available for kids and babies to come to watch their parents play soccer. Mothers, fathers, the ability to call it home, we're really excited about, but a place for us to provide a space for those family members as well.
Now, apparently also there's a master plan currently being finalised in regards to LARA Recreation Reserve. Where are we with that? What's the next step? And should we put our next priority onto that? Or what should we do to develop the facility?
Yep, that's right. So LARA Recreation is currently being assessed under a master plan. All the facets of the reserve are going to be consulted on, including, you know, the tennis and the scouts. What we'll want to wait to see is what the community consultation will determine a priority outcome. But the good thing is that once we've got a plan, we should be able to execute that without delay. So that means money's in the next budget because you've got a plan, a progress report, prioritisation's already done. Let's just get on and do it.
Mm-hmm. Whilst we're on that subject, I know Corio Soccer Club, I think, also doing something similar with Hume Reserve. Are clubs doing enough of that type of thing? Are they, particularly the clubs that are on council land, are they doing enough to try and push through from their own end, master plans of their own reserves and things like that?
I think it's a 50-50 thing. I think we need the support from the clubs to tell us that we need to do it, but we also need the support of council to actually go out and proactively contact those clubs to say, hey, what we would like to do is do a master plan so that we can envisage your growth, and that looks in the next, you know, 10 years' time.
Now, like many clubs, it's a bit of a family affair involved in the football community. Your dear husband, Paul, is so heavily involved in the club. He's the junior vice president. You also have a couple of sons playing as well. Cody is one of your sons. And I'm told he actually went out and pretty much single-handedly attracted enough mates and mates of mates and secured a boys under-17s team for this year. As a soccer mum, geez, that must make you pretty proud.
I'm extremely proud. And look, my husband took on the VP role to ensure that our juniors succeed and to grow the participation at Lara. He also does sponsorship and equipment and all of those sorts of things that we all do.
Does he do anything around the house?
Actually, he does all of that too. So I can't deny that. Look, my son, I'm pretty biased, but he's an amazing young man. He's managed to pull that team together so that because he wanted to play at Lara for Lara in the under-17s competition. So he pulled that together. And look, the bunch of kids in that under-17 team are a really amazing group of kids, and the coaches are really good. So I'm hoping they're going to go a long way this year.
Finally, Kylie, are there any last words you'd like to say to the wider football community here in Geelong on the Geelong Region Soccer Show, and particularly maybe those from some of the other wards as well, south of the Bowen, etc.?
Yeah. Look, I want the Geelong soccer community to know that whilst I have a finger in the Lara United pie, my focus is to grow soccer in Geelong and give it a political voice to fight for our fair share of the funding of facilities to match the growth in soccer that we're experiencing across Australia. So my message is keep doing what you're doing. I'm there to help, and shows like yours are proof that we have the right mix in Geelong. So thanks to you guys for having me on.
Oh, shucks.
Kylie, it's been a real pleasure for us having a chat to you. You've really, really enthralled us with the different insights that you've had into the world of Geelong Council, as well as everything that's happening in your own club at Lara United. We wish you the very best in the rest of the season and the remainder of your time as a councillor at the City of Greater Geelong. But really, thank you.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Kylie.